I was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
Welcome to the podcast, everybody. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's Ski at TSB Ski. He's King at Jeromney. Tweet at one of us for fun, if you still use Twitter and it's fun for you. Also on Discord, Sports Brewery. Find us on YouTube, search for the Sports Brewery. Twitch.tv/Abrog87 is what we are on right now. We record our podcast every Thursday at 7:30.
And ish. Twitch.
Twitch.
I always did have a question on the Abrog 87.
Yeah.
Where's the 87? Are you trying to troll, like, being a little younger?
Okay, what do you think the 87 is from?
Like, are you trying to troll, like, 4 years younger?
It's high school football number or
like
something.
Literally exactly what it is, yes. Yeah.
Like
it's been my number on, like, everything. So I have 87 on everything. By the way, if you want to, like, steal my identity, 87 is on all my passwords, so...
I mean, there was a long time where, like, everything I did was big timer with a Y.
Yep.
And then 28 to whatever degree I had to do the 28s because of Saladin McCullough. So I get it.
Obviously.
And that you didn't throw the Z on for big timers?
No, because I was the big timer. There was no plural. It was singular. Right. I wobbled and shook it.
Yeah. He singularly dropped it like it's hot.
Yes. I'm him.
He is I am him.
Figure it out, Wody. Figure it out. Can I say Wody? I don't even know what that means. I think I just did. By the way, movie podcast on Sunday. I keep forgetting to announce that at the start of the pods every week. Movie podcast on Sunday is You People. It is on Netflix, you know, the movie with Eddie Murphy and Jonah Hill. It's on Netflix. You can watch it. Just came out. Another new movie recommendation from King. So we watch that, and we'll talk about it.
He's got his ears to the streets on all the new stuff.
He sure does. Netflix be making movies. King be watching them. Somebody's has to. All right, let's... Where shall we start? So we had a... King, you and I had a quick back and forth, but it was a good discussion that came up on Twitter. I think I forget what the profile is. I'll see if I can find the actual post itself. But it was like a year where a bunch of rap albums came out in the same year, and essentially selecting which one was the best. And for whatever reason, my Twitter's not working right now, but. I got the list up in front of me now. So in 1 year, it was 1999. These albums came out. So I'll just name the big ones. I'm not going to go through the whole list because there's like 20 or so on here. But big ones were Dr. Dre, 2001, The Roots, Things Fall Apart. The most Def album came out that year. Eminem's for the Slim Shady LP came out that year. Wait, was it the Slim Shady LP or the other one? Or was it the first one?
It was the LP. Yeah. Slim Shady LP.
Yeah. Okay. The Method Man and Redman Blackout album came out that year. The Jay-Z is it the Blueprint album? I can't even see. I believe it's the Blueprint album, isn't it?
No, it was the.
No, it's not the Blueprint.
It's not Reasonable Doubt. It's the So anyway,
I should know this. Yeah.
So anyway, that it's the reason it's not going to be included is because we don't really remember it. So you know, the big ones to come out that year, the ones we were having the discussion about is, you know, obviously Dre 2001.
I mean, I see the clear winner staring right at me, looking at this.
You're gonna say some Nas bullshit.
Nas would be up there for me, but I would probably go to Beat Nuts.
It's so insane. You guys,
okay.
This is such hipster.
The one I listened to the most was probably GZA Beneath the Surface, though.
There's no... It's, you guys are insane.
I would say that's the
it's
best.
It's Doctor Dre 2001 in a landslide. Come on.
Was Jizza.
Okay, you're dropping the caveat.
Yes.
What's the Jizza album on there?
Beneath the Surface.
I don't even see it.
Yeah, it's like right side, middle right, oh, far right. Is.
No okay, love for Inspector
Deck. First of all,
Deck.
My guy, like Liquid Swords is the superior Jizza album. So what are we even talking about here?
That was 3 to 4 years before then.
You're telling me you listen to Beneath the Surface more than Dre 2001 and the Eminem, the fucking Slim Shady LP? You're a liar.
And I will say, the Eminem, the Slim Shady LP is an embarrassing thing to admit.
Yeah.
That shit had a grip. A grip, not on white America, not on America, on the globe. The Slim Shady LP had its hands on the neck, which, if you listen to some of his rhymes, kind of correlates on the world. And I feel bad admitting it almost because he's a punchline now. I think.
If you go back and listen to that album, it's probably pretty corny now.
Oh, I'm gonna listen to it tomorrow. I'm hitting up Spotify at work, and I'm.
It's 1000% corny, by the way. Like it absolutely is. Yeah, I'm just putting this up so, like, if you're watching, you can see it. But yeah,
doesn't mean he doesn't have like sick flow and some good lyrics. But yeah, it was pretty corny. Now
Skeet.
No, his next album was super corny.
Now Skeet, to your point. Watch Out Now came out on that Beat Nuts album. And Watch Out Now. Oh my God.
That might just be the banger of the year. Maybe not best album, but single.
The Beat Nuts Super Dre. Supreme Team from Queens.
Jesus. That's like that song is up there with best song of the 90s, like period.
Absolute banger. Jesus. Absolute banger.
So good. And then fucking remember J-Lo came out with, I'm Still Jenny from the Block? Like, yes. She stole the beat for that one, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the Beat Nuts lifted it off someone from, like, the 60s, some old, like, no jazz they took, like, 5-second riff off of and just, like...
Kind of on that note, before we loop back around, did you guys see the video of the Gorillaz where they admitted, where they showed where they got the beat for, what's it called? I'm happy, feeling sad.
And it's just like the Casio, just like auto play.
It's like a 1988 like guitar toy that he just hit the button. And he's like, "Yep, that's it." And the guy was like, "You gotta be kidding me! No way! Fuck you! Bullshit!" And he hits it again. You're like, "Yep, that's it!
God damn that it!
God damn!"
Yeah, you got DJs like digging through racks of old like 50s and 60s albums, and like this guy just picks up a mid 80s fucking
this cat's going to St. Vinny's and getting his musical instruments.
Oh yeah,
and making $1 million on the single. Fuck you, man.
And keeping all the money because it's just him.
Damn right. By the way, yeah, well, who would he owe money to? Like Casio?
He doesn't have any. He gets like people in for singing. So like, you pay Dell for the song or two he's in, but he's the band. He's
no doubt.
He makes everything.
Something to note about this picture of albums. By the way, if you want to find it, we did. Like each of us has tweeted about it, so you can find it on our Twitter pages, but. Two albums by Nas that year, and two like good albums by Nas that year. So
Nostradamus.
It was on that No Limit Records flow where it was just like every 4 months, record. Yeah. Inundating with records, even if they're bad records. And I think that was the era where Snoop Dogg was a No Limit guy, right?
Yeah, he's got the album there.
That was like, right around
his,
there.
His album's no on sense. There,
yeah. Yeah.
Just how weird is that?
It was Master P, man. Like,
it just makes no sense. Just signing, very bizarre.
Signing up everybody. Well, if he's going to give him money to make an album, let him give you a whole bunch of money to make a shitty album. Which, by the way, the Snoop Dogg No Limit album is terrible.
Like, terrible.
Should not have been
so bad.
Yeah. You Snoop should not be doing songs with Silk the Shocker. Like, you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
When you hear No Limit Soldier, what's the next thing that you hear in your head? Because to me, it's I'm a No Limit Soldier smoking on the Doja. That's what gets me.
That's just where it goes.
Yeah, that's where it goes. Every time.
I picture Mystical on top of the tank in that music video or whatever.
It ain't my fault.
Did I do that?
What is it Mystical doing? Like, yeah, in dude. Prison for being like a weird like sexual deviant or something?
No, it was gang rape. Like they videotaped it and everything. Yeah, it was bad.
That's bad.
It's very bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Our heroes.
Yeah. These winners from the 90s who we used to worship. Fantastic.
Mystical did gang rape on tape, and Michael Jordan had his dad killed over gambling debt. Our heroes. 1990s.
Yeah. Sums it up perfectly.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Yep. The Ja Rule album, by the way. Like, we just sort of overlooked Ja Rule, but it was a good album. I remember in 1999 really liking that album. So I wouldn't say in 2023 that I go back to that album very often, but I remember in 99. It was a different time, man. Yes.
Ja Rule. Yes, it was.
What album is this Prince Among Thieves album? Like right below the Mos Def in the top left.
Oh, that's the, oh, shit.
That's, like, the one I just don't recognize, like, at all.
Yeah, Prince Paul was, like, a really famous producer. Yeah, so, like, he produced like, a bunch of De La Soul and, like, and other New York people a lot. And so it was a big deal back then. And the Corrupt Streets is a Mother album, too. Ah. Also had
where was Lord Drake and Peter Guns? I thought they were like Lord 99. Drake and Peter.
They were more like 96. Which turned into Shakira, Shakira.
Bow, bow.
Music.
Bow.
Yep.
Music. Yeah, they completely 100% ripped off a Steely Dan rip. Literally the entire beat for it is just an old Steely Dan song.
100%, yep.
What I love about the Lord Tariq and Peter Gunn's music video is they're like, well, we don't know if this is going to go big, right? You know? So we can't afford to rent out Yankee Stadium.
Oh. Right.
So even though we're talking about like the Bronx, we're at Shea Stadium.
We got to go Shea Stadium.
We're in Queens. We're over in Queensboro.
So good. And nobody outside of the city is going to know what the hell that is anyway. So,
yeah, no one outside of the city, unless you're an extreme baseball dork, is going to notice that we're the orange and blue stands.
The difference in the boroughs. Get out of here. Is there any other city like in the world where people talk about the different neighborhoods of the city? I'm trying to think.
LA.
Like L.A. No. Maybe, yeah, because they say
you
like
know, mid central,
yeah, like mid city, like people say, like yeah,
it's different though because
it's so wide, like those are literally different like cities essentially in L.A. New York, they're like you walk two blocks,
right?
And you're in a different borough, yeah. It's the weirdest thing, man. But there's also 3 million people in one borough. 2 million in the other.
Yeah,
pretty big city.
Yeah.
If is there anyone in the chat?
There's one person in the chat, and he asked if you could see the chat.
I can't. If you could live in any borough of New York and be fine. Like I'm not saying you're Jay-Z rich, but you're not poor. Like, you're fine. You're completely fine. You can get whatever you want. What borough would you live in?
Well, I can tell you I'm not living in Staten Island. I know that.
Picture you as a Yonkers guy.
Yeah, no Strong Island. I picture you living in Newark with New Jersey, even. you live in Newark with Red Man.
I'm not even in a borough. I'm in a whole different state.
Yeah. You're sleeping on Red Man's couch like Method Man did in that Cribs episode. Which one would I want to live in? Like, no.
I'd want to live in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Good.
Without question.
But is that a borough? Like,
yeah.
That's what. Yeah. Okay. You guys want to be some Upper East guys?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I would.
Do you want to take it in the Bronx or something? Or
no, I think I would live in Brooklyn just so I could wear a cardigan.
I don't get why you guys aren't saying Harlem. I don't understand. Why don't you immediately go to Harlem? I mean
I'm not saying Long Island also, so it's all right.
I don't get it.
Do the Harlem Shake. Yeah. I think yesterday was the 10-year anniversary of that Miami Heat Harlem Shake video, if you guys remember that from
I did see a post about that too.
The Harlem Shake.
I had forgotten about it.
Yeah.
LeBron,
what a mayor.
LeBron put a crown on. You know what it reminded me of was how much I miss Birdman
he looks so scary
in our lexicon. God.
Jesus Christ, man. I think mohawk.
I think that was the black bandana
up to his little, like his eyes. Terrifying.
I think that was before he went to Denver and got his entire body tattooed as well.
It was after he was suspended for like 3 years in Denver for doing peyote and mescaline.
That's right. He was a veteran pickup along with Mike Miller.
Yes. He was like 27 though, but he looked like he was.
That's right.
Yeah.
12. All right, let's start getting into actual sports that happened, I guess.
Sports.
So there are things to talk about. You know, we could, you know, pitchers and catchers reported, spring training ball has happened. There was the pitch clock incident. So I'm curious, like, you know, you guys are more baseball guys than I am, I think, especially you, Ski. But like, we had the incident with the pitch clock, but I think to a wider, like if you asked people around baseball what they think of it, I think most of them would tell you that it's working pretty well. And the games are going, it's spring training, the games are going much quicker. A lot of the guys are okay with the clock so far. I haven't heard many complaints. But then again, you know, big time starters aren't going out there and going 7 or 8 innings as well. So, you know, we'll see what happens when it gets into the season. But I don't know. Curious.
I mean, it's doing its job. You know, what it was intended to do is speed things up, because this is, you know, since spring training started, there's been a lot of videos coming out of, you know, there was a last year, a guy pitched an entire inning in spring training this year against one guy that threw one pitch. He stepped off twice and he did two moves to second and walked around the mound each time. And that took 2.5 minutes to throw one pitch. So I understand, you know, as a whole for baseball that, I mean, these guys were killing the game. That's brutal. I personally think 15 seconds is just slightly too short. Like, I think 20, because when a guy's on base, it jumps to 20. Yeah. I think 20 is the right number. It should be. But these guys, they'll pick it up quick. Like you brought up the guy that, it was the Red Sox first game.
Yeah.
It was a walk-off strikeout because the guy didn't get fat. The box fast enough.
And you know what? I feel like the only reason that's a big story is because it ended a game. Like I think it was just a regular, you know, out, then nobody.
Well, Machado's very first at bat of spring training got a strike called on him instantly because he didn't get in the box in time.
Figure it out, bud. Like, that's the rule.
And the kid that got out in that Red Sox game, you know, they were talking to him afterwards, and, you know, he was a minor leaguer, so he played through it all last year. And he's like, yeah, you know, the first month, they were probably like 2 to 3 infractions a game that they were doing. And then about a month in, that dropped down to maybe 1 infraction every 2 games.
And is that because...
So the first month of the season might get a little shaky,
well, I mean,
but they'll figure it out.
Was it
pretty quick.
Wandy Rodriguez today, who had a three pitch, 22nd at bat strikeout.
Yeah.
Give me that.
All day long, man. I'll go to baseball games. Like, if baseball games are 2 hours, like,
well, that's a little.
I'm just saying.
You're like, asking a little much on that.
I'm just saying, like, so if we're pushing towards that, it's huge for the sport. Like, it really is, because if, like, going to a sporting event that lasts 4 hours, like, it's a lot, man. It's a lot to ask. So, like, I, you know, not only just as a normal person sitting in one place for 4 hours and, like, trying to make conversation and eat hot dogs and drink beer or whatever, like, it's fine, I guess. But even that, like, 4 hours is really pushing it. But if you're talking about, like, taking your kids, to a game, it's hard. Like,
but see, the other side though is that this is going to hurt owners. I mean, how much money they're going to lose because each game's a good 30 to 40 minutes shorter. You know, that seventh inning, you know, last call for beer is going to sneak up on you pretty fucking quick. You'd have like two or three beers by the time you're like, oh, I guess we stop selling them here.
It's going to add to people getting hammered as well, too, because they have to drink so much before.
You got to go up and slug two and keep standing in line and buy two.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was talking to two of my buddies who were baseball players as well. And my question to them was, all right, you know, the rule change for football about like targeting and all, you know, like, you know, how to tackle now.
Yeah.
That's getting used in, you know, high school, you know, when kids are young, so they're able to learn that quick.
Get used to it, yeah.
But this rule is specifically for professional baseball. It's not used in college. It's not used in high school. There's going to be a transition now to where, I mean, it's going to take some time maybe for a guy that get rid of a bad habit, you know, if you finally get to the minors. Because I said when this first spring training game, I was like, Nomar Garciaparra cannot be in baseball. Nowadays, his weird little tics, I don't think he could do it.
He'd have to just change the way he does stuff. You know, like, you do your little tics, but, you know, like, keep your foot in the box. And then, you know what? Have that internal clock where it's been 10 seconds. I'm done doing my weird things. I'm back in the box now.
Batter's only get 7 seconds.
I'm just saying. Like, so this is a good thing, because dorks like Nomar Garciaparra aren't going to get to do that dumb bullshit anymore. It's the dorkiest shit ever. The baseball players who do that stuff.
That's not slowing the game up, though.
It's not a routine. Not it's like obsessive compulsive disorder. Like,
yeah, there's a pitcher in the minors that when this rule came along, he has a tic of some kind. He can't pitch anymore because he can't get to his delivery in time.
Is it a physical tic? Like, he has an actual, like, a medical procedure?
Yeah, he has a medical tic to where, you know, he, like, fidgety. He, like, can't physically start his delivery in time.
That is something that might have to be, like, a single case agreement, you know what I mean? Like, baseball might have to make a decision for him. But everybody else, this is a very good thing.
I don't hate it at all. I just think 5 more seconds, I think everyone won't complain at all, is the thing.
No, I think you bringing up the targeting rule and stuff is a good comparison, because it took... I mean, players are still getting used to it, but it, you know, really it took football players like 2 years to get used to that rule. So I think this will, it might even take less time for players. I think probably a full season, you know, players will actually get used to it and be used to their new routines, like their new at-bat and pitching routines.
That pitcher for the Astros, Javier, he did like this kind of long, like, rocking the baby stuff. He cut that out now.
Yeah.
He just does kind of like a simple step and go now, as opposed to...
Is Johnny Cueto still pitching?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
There ain't no way Johnny Cueto can cut down that bullshit.
No way.
Same with, like... So I still don't know the full rule is if you have to start your delivery or you have to throw the ball. Because if you just have to start it,
I think it's start.
Then you could do the timing stuff, you know, like Marcus Stroman does the same thing where he changes his pitch delivery, you know, speed and length of it, like Nestor Cortez. So as long as they got that in, then it shouldn't affect anyone.
I would imagine the umps are going to be fairly lenient in terms of I'm saying like in terms of when a guy, like when a pitcher especially, like gets the pitch, gets set, and then they'll give him like a little lenience in terms of what he does after he gets set. So it's like he's not going to have to actually pitch immediately.
I don't know. It sounds like they're going to fucking lay it on like exact, like, because they get sent like a buzzer, like it buzzes them. And if they're not in the box by then or delivering their pitch by then, it's
That's what Booble's saying too. He says you have to start the delivery by the end of the clock. I would imagine that is the part that changes as we get into the season. Like I would imagine
if you go to delay a game clock where you get that extra half a tick.
Yes. Yeah. The back judge puts his hand up or whatever. It's that thing. It's like you get benefit of the doubt. Like if you snap it within a second afterwards, I think you're fine.
So when me and my baseball buddies were arguing about or, you know, discussing this, I said, why does football not have a buzzer for the head official for when it hits zero? So it hits zero, it's done. If the ball is not snapped by then, it's a fucking delay of game. Because they are crews to crews are very lenient on what is a delay of game or not.
It's the back judge's job. Because the back judge is the one who actually looks. He actually looks at it.
Yeah, it should just be a buzzer that someone up in a booth hits a simple button when it hits double zero. Boom.
It's interesting, too, because they have the play clocks on each side of the field, but the back judge's job is with 10 seconds left, he puts his hand up. Quarterback is supposed to look at him, and that's when you know. They give him like 2 seconds afterwards, it seems like sometimes. Yeah. But again, I think that's what's going to happen with baseball, too. I think.
A thing I find very bizarre about the pitch clock is all the big, you know, baseball voices, you know, whether it's Tim Kirkshin or
Jeff Passan,
you know, they're like, oh, yes, believe me, once the regular season starts, the pitch clock will be out of the camera's view. Who cares?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I want to know.
I don't mind it at all. What are you going to do? Put another ad for a water company like Pepsi? Like, okay. What's the big deal?
I heard that Nesson is putting the clock up in their little scoreboard on the screen. It'll be like
scoreboard. Why not? We see it all the time at football games, you know? Yeah, I know some of it depends on stadium configuration, but it's right there to where when they go to field view, you can see it. Who cares?
It's the play clock. They literally have a camera on the play clock and they have it right up next to the score. Like,
it's really, really easy. I don't get why people are so like offended by the visual of the play clock.
Yeah, it's fine.
Right.
Totally used to it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
Booble says the Cubs broadcast is doing that. It's a ticking clock and a score overlay. It's like, yeah.
Good.
That's what it should be.
Well, should be. Yeah.
That's probably the more entertaining thing of the year to watch for a Cub game is that clock ticking down. Ticking down to the end of another season for the Cubs.
What's so funny is you're talking shit to Booble about being a Cubs fan. And so we got Cubs, A's, Royals, Red Sox. We're all absolute fucking garbage.
If I get like 85 wins, I'll be like, ooh, all right, great season.
And the Royals get to 72, I'll be shocked.
What's your over-under for Oakland this year?
Ooh.
Like 40?
Man, I'm so glad no one held me accountable to last year's prediction. I think I said they would get to like 70 by accident or something.
Yeah, man.
They did not.
Remember, as Ski said, they have a Japanese flamethrower this year.
They're one
notable pitcher on their entire roster. Hey, they got the juicer Laureano's back though. So all right.
Yeah, he is.
Got that going.
Speaking of the Royals, I love these stupid baseball injuries that are totally fake thing came up when, oh shit, I'm blanking on his name. Aroldis Chapman came to spring training the other day with a split lip and a cracked tooth, and like, oh, he just tripped in his hotel room, and his arms didn't work to brace his fall, apparently. And with his past, guessing there's a little more to the story.
Baseball players just aren't that athletic, man. They can't catch themselves when they fall down.
I got the A's win total. It is tied for last, so not dead last. 59.5 wins.
Woo! What's the Royals?
Let's see.
Who's tied?
68.5.
68. What's the Red Sox?
Sox are 78.5, and the
what are the Cubs?
76.5. So jeez. Sox slight favorite of the four teams.
Who's tied for last with Oakland?
The Nationals. Surprising. I would put Pittsburgh low too, but yeah, wow. The Nats.
Let's see. Baseball's going to be great, guys.
Baseball's it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we got back to back, just dominant, fantastic teams we follow in basketball and baseball coming up. It's just great. Just great.
By the way, speaking of fun.
Uh-oh.
Speaking of dominating.
Uh-oh.
Speaking of things.
Oh, no.
We will spend only a minute carrying on. This is your weekly XFL report.
If you smell what the XFL is cooking.
Kicking off week two of the XFL 3.0, AJ McCarron and the St. Louis Battlehawks walked into Lumen Field. And you just don't walk into Lumen Field in front of 9,000 crazed Sea Dragon fans and defeated the Sea Dragons 20-18.
It's too bright.
AJ McCarron, starting quarterback.
Lumen Field, it's too bright. Lumen, too bright. Can't see the ball.
AJ McCarron left a $5 million a year salary as a backup quarterback in the NFL to rake in a $60,000 a year salary from the prestigious Battlehawks. So as he said, as he was crying, his kid could see him play. Hey, AJ McCarron, newsflash. No one other than me, not even your kids, are watching you play.
I did see the viewers from week one to week two. That thing just fell off a cliff instantly.
Isn't it crazy? Like, if it really felt like week one that the XFL was paying people to go to those games, because the stadiums were legitimately mostly full. And I'm like, who is going to these? Like, it reminded me of my radio days when we would just like get hundreds of free tickets to things. And it's like, hey, give these out at all your events. I was like, okay, cool, man. Like, and we just like, hey, you want tickets to so-and-so? Okay. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Speaking of enormous events, the standalone XFL game on Saturday in prime time, went to the now 2-0 and leaders of the XFL North? Maybe it's the South. I don't remember.
Southern Division,
the
Western, DC Northern?
Defenders over the Vegas Bitten Vipers. And I don't know if you watched the game, but it rained in Las Vegas. And it was played in a third-tier soccer stadium. And the booth was literally a crane thing. Oh, and it was very sad. And they painted the grass. And everyone was slipping. It was like the Super Bowl. So, hey, maybe the XFL has something going for it.
Very legit.
On Sunday.
Hold on. The grass guru from the Super Bowl came out and said, they underwatered the grass. That's why there was problems happening on it.
He said it was rotting and decaying, and he called it bullshit that it's on him.
Bullshit.
George Toma, the sod father.
Sod father, yeah.
Got
to
come
on to Sunday in the XFL.
Get ahead of that message, boys.
Yeah.
The Guardians of Orlando could not guard the end zone against 2020 Rose Bowl loser quarterback from Wisconsin, Jack Cohn. And the San Antonio Brahmas, horns up if you're a Brahma boy. Let's go, Brahms.
Yeah.
Jalen Ballage, remember him? Also a Brahma. And remember Travis Johnson? Also a San Antonio Brahma.
Johnson spelled with
to close out week two of the XFL 3.0. The Houston Roughnecks won what is everyone has called for many years the Texas Tussle over the Arlington Renegades, 23-14. When you pull up the Houston Roughnecks roster, it shows PJ Walker, the now Carolina Panthers quarterback, as the starting quarterback. It seems they've never updated a roster, as PJ Walker was a Houston Roughneck merely weeks before the world was introduced to COVID-19. And that is your week two XFL update. Throw your horns up if you're a Brahma.
Is that a bull sound?
If you're a Viper. Yeah. If you're a Sea Dragon. That's fire, baby. That's fire. If you're a Battlehawk, ski. What sound does a Battlehawk make?
It's a good question. Are they more like a... Or what?
It's got to be that, right?
If you're a DC Defender, what sound do you make? I don't know, but you're probably shooting... that Babbitt girl right in the head.
Yeah, highlights and highlights of January 6th.
Yeah, that's what.
Oh, boy. Booble says he's a global gym viper. From dodgeball. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so why, I feel like they missed a chance. They should have been the pit vipers. I think it sounds a little scarier.
Wasn't it Globo Gym?
Yeah.
Globo, wasn't it?
Globo.
Yeah. I swear the Vipers were in Tampa in whatever spring league came up right before COVID. So I swear I was a Vaping Viper fan. I think that was my thing. I was a Vaping Viper.
Is that one of their giveaways?
Yeah, the Tampa Bay Vaping Vipers.
Yeah, that's what Booble's saying. He is confirming that.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know, by the way, I don't know why I just take him at his word instead of taking you at your word, but.
I mean, I feel if like, anyone knows anything about the XFL, it's Booble.
I feel like that's something you watched. Fair enough, man.
I mean, in the Discord, Booble started an entire section just for XFL.
He did. He did. He did.
He's over. Yeah.
Maybe we should bring him in and make him do the XFL breakdown.
He's over here breaking down Paxton Lynch film in the Discord.
No, Paxton Lynch got cut, right? Isn't that the deal?
He got benched. He played last.
That was it. Yeah, He's the only quarterback to ever be benched by the NFL, CFL, XFL, and USFL.
So got the Arena League to do.
Right? Go back in time playing the Arena League. Like Tony Graziani. All right.
Toby's League.
Different sports.
And Ron Jaworski.
We just spent a long time talking.
Philadelphia Soul.
We just spent like 10 minutes on a 1 minute XFL segment. Lillard scored
Ben DiNucci.
Lillard scored 71 points.
Nah, whatever. Ben DiNucci.
And then they blew two games, so yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The Blazers are up. So we don't have to really talk about the Blazers as a whole.
Yeah.
The 71 was great. That was fucking fun.
It was great.
Because, like I've said, I don't watch the Blazers on a nightly basis right now because there's no reason to. They're not trying to win. Jody Allen, terrible owner, doesn't care. But I was driving back from doing something, and they're like, "Oh, at this point, it's Damian Lillard 13, Houston Rockets 10," and I was like, "Okay," and 10 is up. And then I saw a stat that he had 20 points or whatever. So I turned it on, like 2 minutes left in the second quarter, and he's at like 29. And then he ends up with 41. I was like, 41. Oh, shit.
Yeah,
I guess I'm here for the second half. I'm in. I'm fully invested.
And the great thing is that the Blazers didn't run away with the game. Like,
the Rockets kept it.
They kept it within 15, like 10, where it's like if you take Dame out and they get it to single digits and you worry a little bit. And so Dame got to stay in and got to keep shooting because, like, he didn't score. Like, he had the 41 in the first half, but then he didn't score for a while in the third quarter. Like, he didn't score until, like, 4 or 5 minutes left in the third quarter. And so then he really went off.
No.
But
he was taking every shot in the final like 7 minutes, other than a straight Cam Reddish shot he took.
Everybody was on board. Like, this is the first time, like, the coach was on board, too. Chauncey's like, fuck it, leave him out there. Keep shooting, man. Go for the record. And finally, they let Dame actually go for a record.
Chauncey's like, I'm not going to be here maybe in a year, so fuck it.
Amen.
But I did see a stat from last night's game, which I thought was interesting. It said Dame has 14 40-point games this season. The most ever for a season of someone 32 years or older. And I was like, didn't Kobe drop like 8 straight 40-point games in his like final season?
No. No.
I thought he had a run where he was just dropping 40 a night.
He just had that one really big game. Like where he just shot every shot that was available and scored a shit ton of points, but that was it. Like the last season he was just...
Did he tear his Achilles the year before?
No, I think it was like 3 years before.
3 years? Yeah. I swear there was a year, because his teams were bad. You know, like Smush Parker was starter. I thought there was a year in his last handful of years where he had a run like Dame had here with, you know, if he didn't score 40, you were kind of shocked in like a 2 week stretch.
I think that was actually like kind of in his prime, to be honest. Yeah, I think that might have been around the time he had that 81 point game where. It was because he had like two straight years where he was getting buckets and they were the eighth seed or missed the playoffs. Yeah.
But it was definitely a bad team he was on.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. All right.
I think you're thinking of his career as a whole. Like the last year was not very good. Yeah. WCP says that he dropped 60 in his final game. So that last
game was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Because. Going into it, the Lakers season was done. It should have been done. Kobe was old. It didn't really matter. And the Jazz were, if they won, they could make the playoffs. And they found out like midway through the first quarter that whoever they needed to lose won. So they could no longer make the playoffs. And they were just like, fuck it. Go off.
Whatever.
Because like at the end, to make sure Kobe got 60, Gordon Hayward, like on a free throw, kept putting his feet. You know, in the lane. So if Kobe missed it, he could get another one, which is great. That's great. That's great.
It is
good. It was fun theater.
That borders on Ricky Davis trying to get his last rebound for a triple-double by shooting it on his own hoop.
But the thing is Kobe was making the free throws. He was making them, even though Gordon Hayward was making sure if he didn't, he
He's just a spotter there, you know, just in case you need it.
Good work on his part. Ducks and Cal just started. It's Thursday when we're recording.
We're going to see 20-point favorite tonight, in case you guys didn't.
The horrible Oregon Ducks basketball team.
The, like, 15 and 13 Oregon Ducks are a 20-point favorite tonight.
That's 16 and 13.
Give them credit. What's so funny about that is if they had just not blown the Washington and Wazoo games the other week, they're 18-11 and 12-4 in the Pac-12, and they're 100% making the tournament.
The game before this on FS1 was Purdue Wisconsin. It said Purdue is a 12 seed, or not Wisconsin's a 12 seed with 17-12. That's their record. That's all the Ducks had to do was just don't blow those two games, and you're in pretty much.
And they did.
And they did.
And I don't understand. We've mentioned it before that I don't understand the net. No one understands the net. How Oregon keeps losing these must-win games, and they just vacillate between 48 and 50. What the women's net is egregious.
Yeah.
It is egregious. The Oregon women are 14
or something.
They're 18th in net going into today.
Yeah.
And they will go up because they lost to Stanford.
Yeah.
And they are now 1-9 in their last 10 games. 1-9, and they're number 18 and going up because they lost to Stanford. The net, abolish it. Get rid of it. I don't like the net.
Yeah.
I don't like the Nets either. Get out of here.
No, they're bad.
Yeah. I don't like fish nets. Why don't you just let fish swim? Come on, man.
Are there any other nets? Aquanet. I don't even like Aquanet.
Soccer goal nets. I don't know.
Netscape.
Netscape. Oh, I did like Netscape.
Hairnets? You don't believe in hairnets.
Love me a hairnet.
Yeah. Back in your Chili's days.
Oh man, yeah. I had no facial hair because I didn't want to wear a little net on my face. I was a clean shaven little angel.
Good times, man.
Yep.
All right, let's see. Trayshawn Holden back with Oregon. So we definitely did not want to talk about Trayshawn Holden until until this point. But so he was reinstated. So I guess the only thing I would say about this is it's nice for him. It's nice for Oregon. You know, they need a receiver. Like, what's that?
Are you surprised he came back?
He was never charged, so I mean. Yeah.
But he was dismissed from the team, wasn't he? Like,
I think,
or was it maybe?
My guess is.
Hey, we're going to say this until.
So,
if you did anything wrong, then we'll bring you back, kind of thing.
My thing with that whole deal is, as I've said before on here, if you're charged and charges are dropped, and he was never charged. No. Then I'm really ambiguous on bringing people back. You can argue either way. He was never charged with anything, and
but
I want to say I think
because
it's
people are charged all the time, and they did that shit. But the charges go away because there's not enough evidence to actually bring a case.
Sure,
yeah,
sure. But he was never charged.
Yes,
and in my opinion, I'm not against guns. I don't really care for guns. I don't shooting them doesn't entertain me. But if you want to own them, I have no problem with you owning them. So like my thing is, if you're going to bring a gun into that situation, it should probably be a little more serious than your ex-girlfriend getting mad at you. That's just my opinion. But he has a right to do it. It was legally carried and he was never charged. So I kind of feel like Lanning jumped the gun on it a little bit.
Was it Lanning or was it higher up saying,
that's
get out in front of this now?
Well, no, I think that's Lanning.
Well, here's the thing, too. So, yes, I agree. Lanning was too far ahead of this. But I'll say, you know, we heard some stuff about what was being put out there that actually happened that night. And what we initially heard sounded really bad. And so if you know, Lanning is hearing that kind of information from similar people to that we're hearing it from, then he's like, okay, well, that's awful. And these people sound very official who are telling me this information. So he gone. Like, charges will be brought. And so I'm just going to get ahead of it and kick him off the team. So that might be, it's definitely on Lanning for sort of like not letting it play out for a couple days and just cutting him right away.
Not like 6 hours later.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like that night, okay, within 24 hours. Like, all right.
I mean, it's a learning tool for Lanning.
Yes.
You know, yes. It is. Because, you know, if they're not even going to bring charges, you can't kick a guy off.
Or should we not be blaming fucking Eugene Police Department here of saying, nope. I mean, if they tipped someone off to it, saying like, oh, we got him for this, this, and this, without actually doing like some due diligence kind of to it?
Because you know that's who he got his information from. It's like the, like
someone that knew someone in the department.
You better believe somebody in the department reached out to the U of O and, you know, gave them the information. And if somebody in the department's telling them misinformation, it's fucked up.
The one thing I didn't quite get about the whole thing is when EPD's like official, or it was like a district attorney, whatever. And they were like, oh, well, the body camera footage showed no foul. Okay, I don't doubt that. But have you ever called the police? They don't really get out there very quickly. So by the time they got out there, I have no doubt there was nothing afoul. Yeah. And I'm not even saying he did anything running afoul. I'm just saying by the time they came out, yeah, he was probably on his Everyone is in their best behavior.
Yeah, so, you know what? The body camera footage is them doing interviews with people.
And you better, you go and over like, here, you go over there, and we'll talk to you separately. And, oh, okay.
And they're all like, none of us want to go to jail, so let's get on the same page here. And, you know, also boyfriend, girlfriend, boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, you know, we've seen what happens with that situation. So,
I mean, this is not quite the Alabama basketball situation by any stretch.
No.
So,
this did sound similar to the LaMichael James scenario.
It did. I was
kind
just
of jumping, that. Jumping the gun quick on LaMichael, and it, you know.
But well, the thing with the LaMichael thing is, someone has to go in Oregon if there's a DV thing. Yeah. Like that, someone has to go to jail.
That's exactly what happened with Holden, by the way. The same rule applied. Yep.
It is what it is. And then you hear the details, and it's not quite as nefarious. And when the LaMichael thing happened, we were all introduced as, you know, just regular people in 2011 or whatever year it was to that kind of thing where in Oregon, if there's domestic violence call, someone has to be taken to jail. Even if they know they're not going to charge them, it's a cool off period. It's a separation. It is what it is. And we're now old enough and the law, we understand it. We're adults and we get it.
So Holden's back on the team,
yep.
which means they have a pretty athletic, decent receiver.
Yeah, I mean, like on you know, as far as he goes, like I don't think anyone is expecting him to be, you know, some, you know, 1,400-yard receiver.
Like he's not winning the Blitnikoff, is what you're saying.
No,
not
but
with Franklin on the team.
But if he's better than Chase Kota, hell of a pickup.
Sign me up.
He caught 6 touchdowns last year, and they weren't all against scrubs. He caught a touchdown in the Iron Bowl against Auburn for like 50 yards or whatever it was. So he's not great. He's a player. Like he's, you know, he's a good football player. He's good for Oregon. It's a very good boost.
Get a healthy Bo Nix throwing him the ball. It should mean good things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So glad this worked out the way it did, by the way, and not just as people who follow Oregon and root for Oregon, but you know, just I'm glad the dude didn't actually do what we had initially heard that he did, because that would have sucked. And I'm glad he's not a dirtbag. It's nice.
Well, just
probably
because the talks, like I don't know if you know any of it was actually official, but the talks were like, oh, Utah would come scoop this guy up in a heartbeat if he actually is dismissed from the Ducks. And just think of that fucking, you know, against Utah, he fucking 200 yards and 5 tuds kind of game of just fucking pissed off.
And they'd hide it behind celebrating their players who died three years ago.
2 dead players. Yeah.
Yeah. The guys who have had longer celebrations of death by 3 years than Kobe Bryant did by the Lakers. Yes.
Yep.
All right. So are you saying next year they're going to do it again? Are you predicting
yes.
it now? Yes.
The Utes official, I don't remember if it was the football account or the athletic department account, but like on Monday put out a thing for like a draft combine tweet from a player, and it had like Hart 22 and whatever and their like pictures. I'm like, it's the guy died during the pandemic, like before there was a vaccine. Oh my God!
Nobody on the current team played with these guys. Like
Cam Rising might have. He's been around. Yeah. but really, you're still right.
There?
Like, yeah, Cam Rising?
Jesus.
Yeah, he's back. He tore his ACL.
Oh, that's right.
Wait a minute.
Didn't he transfer to Utah? Isn't that a thing? Okay. Yeah. So he definitely wasn't there.
He wasn't there.
Oh yeah, WCB Cam FTX. Forgot about
yes.
that.
Yes. Crypto cam. But I know I beat this horse dead, but Jesus, like, it's been so long, guys. Please stop. And because the first guy died around the same time as like Kobe, I mirror those two. And I'm like, the Lakers don't have KB and they're not wearing the Black Mamba uniform. And that's Kobe Bryant, and this is just some random running back. Like, fuck, it's just, you know, it's gross. It's just exploitation.
I thought the Ducks did a good job with Spencer Webb.
They did
perfectly. You know, yeah,
and they won't on again. Like
they might. They might. You think they leave the little 4-yard dash?
No,
a different color for a little bit, or no?
No, just a 1-year thing. You just 1 year, and then you get over it, and then it becomes grief porn if you don't. Like it's just, it's too much.
It's over the top. Got to stop because you're officially exploiting it at that point. And now you look,
I don't even remember.
You look gross.
Who was the player that died jumping off the Knickerbocker Bridge? Like,
well, was it Knickerbocker? I think you're thinking of Todd Doxey.
You're thinking of Doxey.
Yeah, it was the Mackenzie River. It wasn't Knickerbocker.
I thought it was a Knickerbocker.
But it was a bridge. It was a bridge.
Yeah.
And he hit the water, and it was like, oh shit, this is 33 degrees, and he just froze and couldn't swim.
And he couldn't swim. Yeah,
Because
I don't remember them really doing a lot for Doxey.
I think it was just sticker helmet, like a TD4 or whatever it said. Yeah.
Yeah. And Jeff Mail got a tattoo or something like that. Like,
I'm sure, you know, week one, there was a video montage or something.
Yeah.
Of course. But yeah, Utah's. Boy, I feel bad every time it comes up bashing him for it. But it's grief porn. Like, just get
stop
over it.
Yeah, just stop it. We'll stop bashing you when you stop doing it.
And like I mentioned, you know, 2 months ago when the Rose Bowl happened and like Herb Street and Fowler's like, oh shit. Well, they're doing their third quarter thing again. 3 years in the making. Here it is. And they showed 4 seconds of it and went to commercial.
Yeah,
done with it
too. The same stuff that they've had on file for the last 3 years. They just roll it out. Sorry, this is the time of the game we're going to roll this out because Utah's still talking about it, so we have to.
Yeah.
It's been so long, it's like eminent domain now. Anyone can use it. Just
free market grief porn.
Speaking of PAC, I don't know if what I saw today is true and like validated by legit people, but it was about the Big Ten. They were talking about expanding 4 more teams from the PAC-12 and at least 2. I didn't see who actually wrote the little article and had the news drop, but I was surprised. It was, they wanted, you know, Oregon and Washington first. And they were like, yeah, we want Stanford and Cal.
Bay Area TV market. That's all that is.
That's it.
And it's like, let's get some more kind of dog shit programs in here too, to get our better team some free wins.
But it's not happening for a good 4, 5, 6, 7 years. It's just,
My question is how long are these TV deals that they usually sign? Like, how long would you think the TV deal the PAC-12 is trying to sign now?
Well, that's the crazy thing, is it's like the grant of right deals more so than the TV deals. Like the ACC, those teams are fucked.
Yeah.
Like Florida State is now being like, the last week, they're like, well, we make more money, so give us more money or we'll leave. And their grant of rights, which they signed like 9 years ago, still extend for another 11 years. So they're screwed.
That's what I'm saying. If the Ducks got to find a way to not be stuck in this conference, you know, forced in for like 10 years. If you cut a 6-year deal, like you were saying, okay, because then you can get the fuck out. But yeah, don't sign some bullshit like 15-year fucking TV deal that forces them to stay.
No, I think they'll sign something, Oregon, Washington, whatever, where it's like at 5 years, there's an out. We still got to pay you something like Texas and Oklahoma are doing to get out of the Big 12 a year early. But they're not going to tether themselves for a decade plus. There's not.
That was my one worry here, is like, oof, just don't get stuck. Yeah. Don't get handcuffed in this conference, please.
So they're talking about that ACC like falling apart now. It's like
but it can't.
Yeah,
it literally can't. Like I said, they cannot. Like it's
they're stuck. Yeah,
because the ACC was one of the Big Ten did it first, and I think the ACC was second. And they were like, "Yes, we'll sign it forever for security." Yep. And now they're seeing that was really stupid. Because they really don't even have a network. It's like digital, which cracks me up. For all the shit the PAC-12 network gets, the ACC network, yes, is now sort of an ESPN property, but has been like a digital property for 90% of its life. And the Big 12, even with Texas and Oklahoma, has never had a conference network. It's just so, it is weird to me a little bit how much shit. And Larry Scott sucked. George Cleave, clavicle guy, not, he doesn't impress me either. But they have a network. Like, it's poorly distributed, for sure. Yes. But
and poorly
they have
shot.
One where the ACC and the Big 12 functionally don't.
They could be the Blazers, where Root Sports is sounds like it might just be going away.
Yeah, the
Kraken and
the regional sports network boom. See, and another thing that it's a thing that confuses me so much is when people mention that the Pac-12 could go to streaming. Everyone's like, losers, streaming, losers, losers, losers. And then the next day, whether it's NBA, NHL, you know, whatever, MLB, they're like, all these regional sports networks are going away.
Yeah. Isn't MLS in some sort of streaming deal now?
Yeah, they're exclusive on Apple, where you have to pay $99 and you get every game for the year. So, like, there's no Root Sports Timbers games. So, not that I'm a huge MLS fan. I'll never see a Timbers game this year. I'm not paying $100 to watch, to pretend to watch Jack Jewsbury.
I would do that for the Pac-12, though.
Sure. Oh, of course.
If Pac-12 signs a deal with Apple and they charge me $100 a year,
you have to. It just is, you know. Yeah.
Easy.
And if I was a huge Timbers fan, I would pay the $100 too. I just don't.
Yep.
Well, if you're just a MLS fan in general, because it sounds like you get all the games in.
You do, and that's the cool thing. That's the cool thing. Yeah, it's like extra innings and Sunday ticket and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Did you guys know that John Taffer claims to have created Sunday NFL ticket? Look it up. Yeah.
So you actually have like rights to it at all, or
I don't remember, but I saw it the other day that he claims that he was the creative mind behind the NFL Sunday ticket.
Here's the thing. Booble just mentioned he thinks that's why the Cubs started their own network, to avoid this sort of thing. What would stop, because Oregon has, you know, their own radio broadcast network that they use. Actually, I don't think it's their own. They have the broadcasting part of it, but they signed a deal with like Learfield or something to do their actual like distribution or whatever deals with, able to get it out to the world. What's to stop Oregon from doing this for all sports?
Who are they going to play? That's what it is.
Good question, but I'm saying like they could get a much better deal for themselves with Comcast, for instance.
I don't think so.
Okay, I'm curious.
Yeah, I just don't know who they're going to play, because you want to do a barnstorming thing like Notre Dame does. It's a lot easier where they are, where Notre Dame in Indiana is in the Big Ten section, you know, the ACC. Yeah, I mean, they're much closer to everyone else, where if Oregon were to do kind of an independent venture, who are they playing?
Well, yeah, like so Roots going away, I guess, but like something like that, where they could make a deal with one of those networks where they broadcast all the games on that network.
Yeah, the difference is, though, is like WGN, NESN, and YES. It's not just, you know, the Yankees, Sox. You got the Bruins. You know, there's those sports are the outside duck football. The other sports aren't worth enough to warrant covering all Oregon athletics.
Well, then streaming. Make a deal. Well, make a deal with YouTube.
Sure. Streaming, I think, would make it doable. I don't think a cable network would do it like that, but a streaming platform could.
Because we're talking about everybody owning a smart TV that has these apps on it anyways. And so if you're somebody who pays like a package with YouTube, where you're paying an extra $100 a year or something like that, to get all of the Duck sports, which includes football, I'd do that in a heartbeat.
Well, the problem is there is, does that mean Oregon would have to film it and do all that, and that, you know, YouTube would just put it out?
That'd be part of the deal, is, you know, YouTube would probably foot part of that. But I don't know. Why not?
Well, there's a perfect thing that showed that Liv did that last year. They were on YouTube. Mm-hmm. If Liv couldn't pull that off with YouTube, I don't think a collegiate sports program could do it.
Liv is a joke, man. Come on. The golf thing? That's what you're talking about?
Yeah, they get more eyes. Outside of duck football, they would get way more eyes per round than any other sport ducks have been offered.
So that might not make sense for YouTube. But I'm saying, like, if the money makes sense for Oregon and the Pac-12 is dragging their feet like they are, like, why not? Like,
no, because I believe Game with King is no one's going to pay for it that enough.
Yeah, but Oregon's relying on the Pac-12 to do their deals for them right now, and the Pac-12 clearly has no idea what they're doing.
Sure, but the thing about that is when they stay in the Pac-12, they get the Seattle market, they get the Bay Area market, they get the Phoenix market, which Phoenix is like sneakily like the fifth biggest market in the U.S., you know.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. You just get all those cable subs that no one ever watches. Many people don't even know they're paying for. That's what it is.
I mean, that's why there's a hockey team in Arizona. It's like, this is the fifth biggest market. Let's get a hockey team there. And no one, they don't spend any money on it.
Yeah, but markets don't matter if we're talking about a streaming service.
No, but markets do matter. That's why Rutgers is in the Big Ten. That's why Maryland is in the Big Ten.
Well, but what I'm saying, though, is, like, if we're talking about just people watching the games, like...
But they don't want... Watching doesn't matter. Ratings do not matter. It's who pays for it. That's why ESPN is... If ESPN played the college football playoff on ABC... Instead of getting 19 million viewers, they're getting 30 million viewers. But they're putting it on ESPN, so those 19 million people watching are paying, and so are all the other, like, 400 million people. They're paying for that channel. So that's where the money comes from. TV ratings for football, like college football, they do not. For sports, right, do not matter. And that's why the regional sports networks are going away, because all these people for years have been like, why am I bundling Marlins baseball? I don't watch Marlins baseball. Yes, I live in, like, Vero Beach. I don't watch the Marlins, so I am not going to pay for this bundle. And that's why the RSNs are all of a sudden just disappearing, because people are getting smart. And it was never, you know, the Marlins never made money, or the Rays or whoever it was, off people watching. It was just people paying for the bundle. And it's like the other day I was saying something about Red Zone. And when I paid for Red Zone, I get all these stupid channels, and Sun Belt and whatever. I never watch any of the MEACs. I never watch it, but I'm paying for it. Couldn't even tell you what channels they were on. I just know I have them, but I've never watched them, but paying for it.
But the point for Oregon is, like, if you can get a good deal that makes you money, then do it, right?
Well, here's the other question is, if you're the Pac-12, why would you have Oregon be in there if you're not essentially affiliated with them at all?
So that's the question then. Is Oregon big enough to where the Pac-12...
They would have to go independent.
No,
would
they're they? Not.
Okay.
They're not. Yeah, they're not.
Yeah, the Pac-12 would not. Why would their biggest draw for a conference and you're not able to use them in your negotiations?
Not our fucking problem.
I mean, BYU tried to go independent, and it didn't work. Notre Dame's the only one that can do it because, well, really, it's the Catholicism. It's just Catholic stuff. Because if you're a Catholic person in Pennsylvania or Maine or upstate New York or New Jersey or whatever, you're a Notre Dame fan. Why? You're Catholic. It is what it is.
I love that narrative, by the way. Like,
so you're saying the Mormons don't have the spread that Catholicism has?
Yes. I love that.
But they don't. Because they're all on missions and stuff. They're in Tonga. Yeah. Like, they're...
Yeah. Wait, you're trying to say... That's why they want to watch their fucking...
They don't.
You know, new football game in Costa Rica while they're on their two-year mission.
They don't, though. They don't.
See, now, BYU should have gone with YouTube. Like, they
because watching cable is a sin in Mormonism. In Catholicism, that is just gluttony that is built into the cake. Like,
yeah, I mean, yeah, you get you watch your sermon in the morning and the football game follows it on the same channel.
And also, like, the thing with like Mormonism is like, do you think the Sewells grew up as BYU fans? Like, is Hawaii teeming with Cougar fans? I mean, you know.
All right, we've been going too long.
Yes, we have. Let's do our top. Let's do our list and get out.
Let's
do
our keeper kick, and then we'll do our.
Oh my God, there's a keeper kick.
There's like a couple. Keeper kick this 2023 class of NFL incoming quarterbacks.
Kick.
Yeah, that's a kick for me. My team's set. So I mean,
see, the problem is my team need one of them. So I guess I have to be a keep because
draft Stroud.
That's easy.
And this is the follow up. Should the Bears trade the number one pick to, say, the Colts to get whatever quarterback?
No, they should. They should keep the number one pick and trade Fields.
They should trade down and keep
trade down to four. Get you're going to get your defensive guy probably they want and yeah.
Because Fields is not good, so he's just very athletic.
He improved at least this year.
No, he's a good. He's an amazing runner. He just can't throw for shit. Very terrible at actually playing quarterback.
All right. Keeper kick Chauncey being the Blazers quarterback or the Blazers coach.
Yeah.
Is he
always been a kick?
But this, the caveat is it a keep him until they sell the team? Because it doesn't really matter then, right?
Yeah, that's the question, right? Is like, what's the point of kicking him right now?
Does it matter? Yeah. Does it matter? Because obviously he should be. He's not a good coach. No. I mean, it's kind of staring us right in the face now. But getting a new coach until they sell the team, I don't think matters. And then last, we did the pitch clock. Shift. Have you guys, because they got rid of the shift. Good. You guys like that too? Good,
yes,
right?
The shift is dumb.
Keep that. Very much so.
Yeah. Like I saw like a 90-second montage of the last like four World Series where very clear, sharp singles, borderline doubles were just caught by someone sitting there like out in the outfield and just line drive right to them. It's dumb. Get rid of it. I'm so glad the shift is gone. I think it's still shade. They're just getting rid of the roamer. So that's all it is. Get rid of the roamer. You're stealing singles.
You can have a roamer, but you just got to take like your left fielder and make him the roamer. So then you have.
Yeah. Then another thing behind the head. So yeah, that's a fair. See, that's a gamble I like to see.
I would love
that. You want to bring him in? Absolutely. You could steal that single or, you know, borderline double. But if he hits it just a little bit harder, you're running, baby.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Extra bags.
See, all right. See, I'm tough. I'm split on this because I didn't care about the rover. I saw a big lefty hitter for the Sox, young kid, hit a line drive, you know, like a hard grounder right up the middle. Base hit. You know, last year that shortstop is playing on the bag and that second baseman's pushed out and that's an out. So I like that they got rid of the infielders have to be on each side of the bag. Because that's a good hit. That should be a hit at all levels of baseball.
Yes.
Hard grounder up the middle.
Yes.
So yeah. All right. Keeping the kick. All right. That's it. That's all I got.
All right. So let's get to our list then. Before we do that, it's sort
of God, there's more.
It sort of ties into the list. The only reason I'm bringing it up. Because Jemele Hill, for some reason, was in Eugene last week or this week?
This week.
And for some reason, she was recommended to go eat pizza at Abby's. So,
well, I think that's why I came up with the list, because King was talking with people about pizza restaurants in town, and Pizza Pipeline was brought up by a few people.
Right. So our list, so our list this week came
imagine
from
imagine telling Jemele Hill. A multiple, you know, tens of millions of dollars in the bank to go eat a Pizza Pipeline.
So good.
Well, I feel like, dude, Abby's is not far from that. It's like buffet. It's buffet pizza.
It's way better
dude.
Than Pizza Pipeline. Stop it.
No, I'm just saying, like,
it has an actual crust where Pizza Pipeline is just, it is a blob of gelatin.
It came out of the oven fresh, but it like the texture of it was like it was 3 days old and somebody had warmed it up again.
It was, okay, so before we get to our list, we've been talking for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Braga, ski, me. Favorite pizza place in Eugene? Braga, go.
I think, God, like lately I've liked Coburg Pizza Company a lot. Have you ever had it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's gimmicky.
So I'll tell you what, like go to anytime the fam wants to get pizza is Papa's. Papa's is like, it's way too expensive, but it's always
$74 for a taco pizza.
It's fine. But again, it's good. It works. The kids love it. Like it's good. It works. If I'm going to get pizza for myself, it's going to be like Coburg for sure.
Mine's probably Pegasus.
Pegasus,
like getting pegged.
Get pegged, baby. I don't know how that's not their slogan.
Yeah, fair enough. See, mine's a Pizza Wheel. It's so good.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that place.
Yeah.
That's down by like First, right? Near the actual prison.
Yes. Yeah. By like,
yeah. That place is good.
See, here's the thing. Also, is I don't tend to get like pizzas delivered. Yeah. I usually like to go like pick them up, you know, stay fresh. So there's two Pegasus in my like my close driving area. It's like that, and there's Mod, and there's like a local one down on campus called Hey Neighbor. That's about how far away I will drive.
I like Hey Neighbor as well.
Yeah.
Never drink their house wine though. Oh my God. No.
Is it like brewed in like a tub?
It is gasoline. It's $2 and it'll make you see stars. One glass.
Sounds great. Just some moonshine wine.
But see, we got three different answers. I like it. Yeah.
But King, I hope we can agree on this because you brought it up also in the thread. The worst pizza that's ever been in Eugene.
Oh, Blackjack. Oh, my
Blackjack!
The worst.
Yes, all right.
It did not matter how many weeds or PBRs or whatever I ingested. I could never get to a third slice. Ever. Ever. I never even attempted a third slice. And sometimes I couldn't even get through two slices, but it was $3 for a large two topping. Delivered.
Dude, I cannot believe. So I didn't see the thread, so I had no idea you were about to say Blackjack. That's so good. And so I have a story about them, but go ahead. You first.
Go ahead. No, go.
Okay, I was just going to say, like, so a long time ago, I worked at Carl's Jr., and I was like, I was a shift leader at Carl's Jr., so I was in charge, motherfuckers. And so one night, we got a bug, and we were like, you know what? Let's see if somebody wants to trade some pizza with us for food. And so we call Blackjack and we're like, hey, you guys down? Like, we didn't know shit about them. It was like, whatever. Cause they were close. And we're like, hey, you guys, like, you down to trade some food for some pizza? And we absolutely. So they brought, I think they literally just brought like one extra large pizza, like one big one for our whole crew. And they legitimately kept, like we brought them meals, like full meals, and they're like, yeah, we want more than that. Like, so we're like how many fucking people do you have working right now? Because they ended up getting like six meals from us, and we're like, Jesus Christ, for this we get six meals? Fuck out of here! You know how much Carl's Jr. Cost now?
Western Bacon Cheeseburger combo is about the same price as an extra large Blackjack.
Do you know how much a Famous Star with cheese is right now?
Like the meal is like $14.99.
The burger is $6.
It's insane. That's Carl's Jr. is insane.
A few months ago,
I went and got their like jalapeno anal rapage burger, and it was super fire. It's like, I'm not paying $18.99 for a meal at Carl's Jr.
Are you kidding me?
Carl is rolling in his grave. Mr. Hardee's is you know, choking on his spit.
Who do you think you are, Carl's Jr.? Jesus. Remember for a while they had that $6 burger because it was like, it's a restaurant quality burger or whatever. And it wasn't even $6.
It's the same thing. You know, like, have you been to Subway lately? Yeah, they got all these like gimmicky sandwiches. I'm like, oh, it's the monster. You know, whatever Steph Curry and Charles Barkley. Yeah. And it's like $15 for a foot long. Again, I'm old enough to remember the $5 foot long. Gone.
Fuck out of here, Subway. Miss me with that.
All right, what's
our,
bread.
What's our list, Ski?
All right, so our list in honor of Pizza Pipeline. Your top three restaurants that are no longer in Eugene.
Quote unquote.
I will go first.
Quote unquote. I will go first. Yeah.
Yes. Any kind of eatery no longer in Eugene.
My number three is where Carl's Jr. is now, or was, and now the Elkhorn Brewery is. My number three restaurant that is no longer in Eugene, Rax.
Rack 'em.
Rax.
I used to, their mascot was an alligator, and I pretended I was eating alligator meat, even though it was just knockoff Arby's.
That it was.
That is absolutely the Carl's Jr. I used to work at, by the way. Is that one, yeah. So people listening who know Eugene, that's the one.
The worst drive-through ever to get out of.
Impossible. Makes you know, right? That was
on,
a thing.
Literally on the left.
That was a thing, by the way. Like, if anybody's ever worked in fast food, drive times are a thing that they keep track of because you got to get people in and out quick. And what fast food places do, you see this at McDonald's all the time, is they have people pull off to the side and then they'll bring the food out to them. That's why they do it, is because they keep their drive times down. Corporate doesn't look at them, whatever. At that place, fucking impossible. Like, impossible. You just, you're destined to fail. So they failed. Yeah. That's, by the way, that's where the corporate offices were for a while. Like, for like Carl Karcher's office was literally under down the stairs along the side of that one. Like, no bullshit. It's crazy.
That was the best fast food building ever. Two levels.
Two levels.
Games.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, staring right down to Franklin through big ass windows.
You want to go to the second floor to eat this?
Yeah.
No, it was three floors. Because you had the downstairs.
There's the sunken floor.
Yeah, you had the downstairs and then the middle one and the
main
upstairs.
Level the order. Yeah.
You could get up to some shit in that upstairs area, man.
You guys ain't watching us going on up there.
Hell no.
Hell no. Shit. All right, I'll go. My number three restaurant I Mitch is a Schlotzky's Deli. I was out on West 11th.
Oh, Schlotzky's.
Schlotzky's in, like, it was replaced by a Quiznos, right?
Yeah, fuck out of here, Quiznos.
Is Quiznos still a thing?
I don't think so.
I don't think there are any here anymore either, yeah.
By the way, that
be on your list.
Late addition to the list here. my number three is the Jail.
It wasn't
great food. It was.
You get a lot of food for not a lot of money.
You get a lot of chicken though. You give them $10 and you get like three meals worth of chicken. So, Jail was quality.
I don't think you could eat that in one meal. How much they gave you?
Exactly. Impossible.
I did enjoy how they had like weird like tank and war motif puzzles in the boxes, just facing you. Like, I never understood like. Why am I looking at an unopened puzzle for a Black Hawk helicopter? Like, what is going on here?
Like, oh, the battle of Iwo Jima puzzle. It's like, all right.
It's a little weird.
Is this problematic? I mean, I don't know. Whatever. I'm going to try not to think about it too much. By the way, WCP says Wendy's on Willamette. Hell yeah. By the way, that was my first job. I had a job there during the summer in high school with Chris Cooley.
I have not.
There still are Wendy's around, at least. Though,
there are, yeah. Wendy's still
are there? I think there's just one. They all went away.
There's one on West 11th.
Yes, but it's new because they all went away for like a decade here.
Yeah, because the guy who owned them didn't like keep up the lease or whatever.
And, yeah. They lost them all.
You know, like, I think I've said on here before, ate a JBC from Wendy's, got food poisoning, shit in the tub because I was so cold, and vomited on myself in the tub.
Junior
good
bacon,
times.
Junior bacon chi. Let's go.
Way to go.
That guy owns the Burger Hut.
Stay with somebody.
The guy who ruined Wendy's and Eugene for a long time.
Yep.
My number two restaurant that's no longer in Eugene is, listen, Have you ever heard the sound of two big drums hitting boom, 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 boom? And then they bring out an enormous banana split because it's your birthday. Oh. My number two is Ferrell's.
Thank you. Oh, that place was the shit.
And when you leave, you can get a 4 foot long gummy rat.
Yeah, you can.
Oh.
The place where Young Life converted many people into fake Christians.
You kids like ice cream?
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's go to Farrell.
All right.
Well, in Corinthians 1:25, they said.
What's a banana split? Whoa. Wait a minute. Jesus gives banana splits? I love Jesus.
Was Farrell's, did they give you your little like scoop of ice cream in like a like chilled metal little container? Was that them?
Yes.
Yeah. Fucking fantastic.
God, that place was so good, man.
And they all dressed like they were on like the that Disneyland ride. We're going to the jungle or whatever. Got the little hats, like they should all have little kazoos.
The Jungle Cruise.
The Jungle Cruise. Yeah.
Yep. Booble said Chili's. This is number three, by the way.
That Chili's went away, by the way, Booble, because the owner was an enormous pervert who was being a pervert. Yeah. So.
Speaking of places.
He looked like Kevin Nash, too, by the way.
Speaking of places people like on this podcast used to work at.
He was an enormous white Hawaiian guy who spoke, like, he sounded more Hawaiian than Marcus Mariota, but he looked exactly like Kevin Nash.
What was worse, Chili's or Hodgepodge?
Oh, cool. We'll find out on my number one.
All right, I'll jump into it. All right, my number two, I would say it's kind of the last kind of barbecue place I liked. That was Howling Coyote Barbecue.
That was good.
Franklin. I think there was one in Springfield for a time out of Gateway as well.
That was good. Yeah. I forgot about that place.
Been a while.
By the way, Booble, I forgot. He said his number three was Chili's. His number two was also a Wendy's. It was the one on Mohawk.
Big Wendy's podcast we got going here.
WCP's number two was Quiznos. So there you go. Another Quiznos mentioned. My number two was Pita Pit.
Recent RIP to that.
RIP. Big up to Pita Pit. Yeah. Yeah, there's probably a bunch of people who don't know Pita Pit's gone. That, by the way, like...
Well, I haven't eaten Pita Pit in a long time.
A miracle that place lasted as long as it did. Like, just where it was. Like, there's literally zero parking there. It's next to the bus station. It's, like, in the worst part of downtown. And, somehow, we all found our way there all the time. And, like...
Well, they delivered, which...
That helped, too. Yeah, they figured it out.
Yeah.
Big ups.
My number one is actually Pock Pock, even though it's Portland because COVID got rid of Pock Pock wings. But because Ski mentioned it, my number one, Hodgepodge. Not on campus, but on West 11th.
West 11th.
Because there was also a Prince Pocklers inside.
God, what a lethal combination.
Their curry and rice bowl. If I could, I wanted to steal their curry recipe. It's the only thing I loved was their damn yellow curry. Oh, it was so good. I didn't even need the potatoes. I didn't need the carrots. I didn't need any protein. Just give me that yellow curry on rice for $1.75. And I was good.
Such a common.
Was that Hot Pot? Was that the old Skipper's that it was in?
No.
That giant anvil is still out there.
That's Hawaiian time now. Yeah. So the Hodgepodge on West 11th, it was like this weird, like, two story building. There's like, there's been a couple of, what are those Japanese grills where they cook like hibachi grills?
Yeah.
In front of it, and there, it's a little strip mall, and there's like a lawyer's up top. Yeah, it's a good little building. Shout out to Kono Wong. Shout out to Kono and Susan.
Wow,
I still remember their names.
It's a family affair.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Somebody got hooked up, man.
All right. My number one, I'm going to stay in the Asian food motif and the campus motif. Hannah's Thai restaurant that was on campus. Still miss that pad thai to this day.
We are
rest in peace, Caspian, by the way, on campus.
And Caspian.
We're blessed in our town with Thai food. I gotta say, man. Like we have always
a Thai restaurant just replaced it also. Now it's just Sweet Basil.
Yeah, which is also great. Like we have always had really good Thai food, like Tara Rin and like
Praya, Molly Thai.
But so good.
But Hannah's was like a mom and pop one. I remember, you know, I'd like already eaten lunch, but someone is like, it's their lunch period. Like, hey, I'm going to go eat. So like, all right, I'll roll with you. You roll in there. And she's like, hey, you're not eating? Like, I already ate. She's like, I don't care. Just like throws food at you to eat for free. Just like, here you go. Eat.
Yep. So my number one sort of ties into that. It's not the best Hawaiian food in the area, but Ron's Island Grill. Remember Ron's?
I do.
There's still a Ron's here.
There is
still two Ron's.
Where?
Yeah, right in Willamette Plaza.
Is it
there
still there?
Yeah.
Oh shit!
Right by that bank, right by the liquor store.
Okay, well fuck it. I gotta roll with a different.
And one. And I still think here. There's one on Shelton McMurphy by REI.
Are there really?
I know the one on Willamette still there. I'm not 100% sure on the other one by REI.
I think the other one's gone. Actually,
I gotta hit up is Ron's it? Then. I just had a story where I went to get the curry there. Well, no. I just had a story where like I went in there one day and Kieran Graney was working there and he was like the cook and I bought just a regular size number 3 and he fucking hooked it up, man. It
was Nami size.
More than that, dude. He filled like you know how the styrofoam things have like the part that goes up. He domed it. He domed it. It was fantastic.
You got a dome from Kieran Greeny?
Yeah, man.
That's some sloppy dome.
Ron's Island Grill.
Damn. Yeah. Congrats.
Some spicy teriyaki. No, okay, so I'll roll with a different one then. How about Humble Bagel?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little pizza bagel action.
R.I.P. Humble Bagel. Used to go there, Roosevelt Middle School. Walk across the street every day during lunch. Get your lunch pass and go get a bagel.
I was a 32-ounce Dr. Pepper with no ice and a king-size Snickers.
Dairy Mart.
That was my lunch in 6th and 7th grade.
Yeah, it was $1.50.
If you ordered that 32-ounce soda, they gave you the king-size Snickers for like 40 cents.
Yeah, it was just like...
Yo, you are.
Here comes
not.
The diabetes here on it. Yeah.
You are not
no,
wrong.
No wonder why Americans are so. God.
Well, your options, you go like Jamie's was expensive for a middle schooler. You go eat some hippy dippy stuff at Sundance, or you had Humble Bagel. And so it's like, well, I guess I'm going to Dairy Mart and just. My money's well earned here.
Yeah. You guys still remember the Jamie's Hamburgers jingle?
No.
I do not.
Hamburgers, hamburgers, Jamie's, hamburgers. And it was just a series of people walking, like silhouettes, and when they would say Jamie's, they'd stick their hands in the air. Jamie's.
D.Y. went away.
Sounds a lot like a Eugene, Oregon commercial.
Before we wrap this up, this place is still here, but it shouldn't be. Hawaiian time. I'm looking right at you. COVID's over.
Best.
Supply chains issues, over.
Sell your fucking beef.
Bring back the beef.
I don't want your
Kahlua chicken or whatever the fuck. Give me the beef.
I think it's a Shanghai beef, I think it's called there.
It's despicable. They're really milking it. You show up there sometimes and you're like, what do you guys have? And like, we have rice and mac.
Yeah. I mean,
sweet terry drizzle.
I go there just for the mac.
Well, the mac is great.
Nobody is exploiting the pandemic more than Hawaiian time.
Absolutely.
Figure it out.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Number one's from the chat. We got Spring Garden on Main Street in Springfield from Booble.
Okay. Yeah.
And then
not racist, but my brother and I always called it was the Asian street racing building in Spring Garden. They always had the nice, like, street racing cars out in front of there. I think it might have been front restaurant, possibly.
And then number one from WCP is Papa's Soul Food.
Oh, that is a great shout. Yep. Good call. Probably, I do miss Papa's.
Probably got to be everybody's number one, right?
Yeah, that should be. It's just been gone for so long.
You want to hear? You want to hear something shitty? I never went there. I never got a chance.
Really?
Every time I wanted to, it's so it was one of those places where you have to like really plan for it because you're waiting a long time to get a seat. Like no matter what you did, so you're not like making reservations. You just got to go and wait, and hopefully get a seat within like an hour or whatever. Well,
and when Papa Souls was like really thriving,
yeah,
down in the wit wasn't the wit. You called it the Whitaker District.
Yeah, because it was
there was Papa Souls, there was Sam Bonds, and there was that like Narcan Center.
The Jesco Club, yeah. Man.
The Jesco Club. I guess.
Yeah.
You're not going to the Jesco Club.
You did some sweet tea and fried catfish, but I really got to be committed to it.
Yeah, you didn't want to get down past the Russian Orthodox Church.
No.
No, don't go beyond where Ninkasi is now.
Like I know like gentrification and all that has bad connotations, but it wasn't until Ninkasi like wiped out a city block to move in there where the Whitaker finally became the Wit District.
Wonderful branding going on there.
Yes.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then Papa Soul real quick though, because Papa Soul Food then he died and they closed it like right away. And so, like, I never had a chance, man. It sucks. All I heard was amazing things about it. Like, it's the best food Eugene's ever had.
And I'm going to throw an RIP out to the Barbecue King as well. I'm going to change Howling Coyote. Barbecue King, you'll get the King's Cup. It's like seven different kinds of fucking meats with beans and fries. Yeah.
It's nice when barbecue guys know what they're doing and know who they're serving. Ugh. All right. You guys got anything else? Wrap it up.
Yeah.
Wrap it up. Fair enough. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Twitch.tv/abrog87, Sports Brewery on Discord, Sports Brewery on YouTube, at TSB Pod, at Jeromny, at TSB Ski. Again, it's you people on Sunday's movie podcast. So WCP also says Barbecue King was awesome. So
yes.
Yes. All right. Later, guys. See you next week.